Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Most of us are aware that the word beatitude means blessing. We probably use the word most often in reference to the Beatitudes in the Lord's great Sermon on the Mount. He said to His disciples and to the multitudes who came to hear Him, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Matthew 5:3-9. Have you examined how many times the word blessed is used in the Old Testament? I shall give you a few examples from the book of Psalms. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Psalm 1:1. "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Psalm 32:1. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance." Psalm 33:12. "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Psalm 41:1. "Blessed are they who dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." Psalm 84:4. "Blessed are they who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times." Psalm 106:3. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Psalm 119:1. Finally, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, that walks in His ways." Psalm 128:1. There are dozens of other examples from the Old Testament, but these will have to suffice for the time being. The New Testament uses the word makarios, usually translated blessed, 58 times. Occasionally, the Greek is translated happy, but that is not an adequate translation. The word means fortunate or blessed. In his excellent commentary on James, Guyon Woods makes these appropriate comments on the word bless or blessed. "Our English word happy is an inadequate term to denote the state of blessedness which the original word describes. Blessedness is a condition resulting from a state of inner peace, whereas happiness, derived from a hap, chance, is dependent on external circumstances. The former is in the heart, and not subject to interference from or the whims of others. The latter involves matters over which one cannot always maintain control." Pages 52 and 53. The Greek word makarios appears in 11 of the New Testament books, but I shall concentrate on the Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. I shall discuss the uses of the word in the order they appear in the last book of the Bible. Although there is much in the book of Revelation I do not understand, I believe we can profit greatly by studying the Beatitudes in that great book. Through the Apostle John, our Lord said to all who approach the book of Revelation, "Blessed is he who reads, and they who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand." Revelation 1:3. This is the only book in the New Testament to which a special blessing is attached to the ones who read it and those who hear it, although all the books of the Bible implicitly attach a blessing to the reading of them. It would be amusing, if it were not so serious, to hear preachers on television and on radio claim to be experts on the book of Revelation. I know there is much in the book we can and should understand, but it is my judgment that no one knows all there is to know about the book. A man shows himself to be arrogant when he claims to be an expert on this extremely difficult book. We should approach Revelation with humility and ask the Lord to give us wisdom in interpreting and in applying it. Otherwise, we shall be the laughingstock of the religious world and of the world in general. The expression, "he who reads," refers to the public reading of the book. Copies were not readily available for all who might want to read privately. Books were difficult to copy and very expensive. The ones who heard the word that was read also received a blessing. While we cannot understand the entire message, we can profit greatly by reading and meditating on the book. Do modern men avoid the book because it is so difficult, and because many modern theologians like John Hagee, Jack Van Impe, and Hal Lindsey give such fanciful interpretations of its message? But if God had not wanted us to read it and understand its basic message, why would He have included it in His Word? Christians in every age have received blessings from Revelation, not just by reading it or hearing it, but by keeping the things that are written therein. For example, what church cannot learn much by giving heed to the messages contained in the seven letters to the churches of Asia Minor? Are there churches in modern times that have left their first love? Revelation 2:4. Have some churches become lukewarm and desperately need to repent and to be on fire for the Lord? Revelation 3:14-22. Do some churches imagine they are alive and on the move when they actually are dead? Revelation 3:1. Every church must examine its teachings and practices in view of some of the great truths taught in Revelation. Paul predicted that Christians in every age would face persecution from the enemies of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12. John assures God's people, "Fear none of those things that you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days, that is for a short time. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. The message of Revelation should be tremendously comforting to those who suffer for the cause of Christ. We will have to endure hardships, and maybe even death in this life, but we shall win the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that not one of the ways God will bless us in our reading and keeping the things that are written in the book of Revelation? John refers to the book as containing the words of this prophecy. While the book of Revelation contains many predictions, the word prophecy does not mean prediction. The word simply refers to the message God's servants delivered in His name. A prophet is one who speaks for God, whether he is discussing the past or the present or the future. The prophets of the Old Testament primarily addressed their writings to their contemporaries. A careful reading of almost any prophetic book from the Old Testament will confirm that fact. For many years, the Beatitude recorded in Revelation 14:13 has been inspiring and comforting to me. Since the death of my Molly in 2002, it has taken on even greater meaning. Will you please listen to these words from the Apostle John that the Lord Himself gave to the Apostle? "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." How I sincerely wish every human being on earth could enjoy this wonderful promise the Lord makes to His people. The author of Hebrews writes of the fear of death that has held so many in bondage, that is, in abject slavery. Hebrews 2:15. Jesus Christ came into the world to remove the fear of death for all who believe in Him and who obey the gospel. Does that mean that all Christians have been able to overcome the fear of death? Like many of you, I have struggled with that fear for many years. But since the passing of my Molly, I seem to be better able to adjust to the inevitability of death and to anticipate seeing our Lord face to face and having a reunion with my Molly in heaven. Why would our Lord say, "Blessed are the dead"? As a matter of fact, He does not teach that all the dead are blessed, but only those who die in the Lord. Why are those who die in the Lord blessed? He gives us one of the reasons in the verse I read to you. that they may rest from their labors. The word labor provides some insight into why we need rest. The Greek word translated labor means to work to the point of exhaustion. So when this life is over, we shall enjoy eternal rest from our labors and from the heartaches that characterize this world of sorrow. The children of Israel could not enter the rest God had prepared for them because of their unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you seem to fall short of it. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Hebrews 3:19, 4:1-9. The last two chapters of Revelation give us a preview of the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In a vision, the Apostle John saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. He adds, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Revelation 21:1-4. John also wrote, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits, and yielded their fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 22:1-5. What a day, glorious day that will be! The great beauty and joy and rest in the heavenly city are available only to those who die in the Lord. Did you know that the vast majority of Americans believe they are going to heaven, even though they have made no attempt to know God and to obey His gospel? Every Bible writer who addressed that topic had a different view from most modern men. Paul wrote of those who had persecuted God's people and assured them that God would reward them according to their works. "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them who trouble you, and to you who are troubled, along with the rest of us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God, and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired in all them who believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." 2 Thessalonians 1:6-10. Since only those who die in the Lord will enjoy the blessings of eternal life, it is vital that we know how to get into the Lord. We must have faith in Jesus as the Son of the living God. John 8:24. But faith alone is not sufficient. James 2:17-24. We must repent of our sins. Luke 13:3. We must also confess our faith in Christ to have Him to confess us to the Father. Matthew 10:32-33. Upon the confession of our faith, we must be baptized into Christ to enjoy the remission of sins. The Apostle Paul asked, "Do you not know that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" Romans 6:3. The same Apostle informed the Corinthians, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:13. If we want to die in Christ, we must be baptized into Christ and live in Him. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We know of the existence of the heavenly Jerusalem and the rest that awaits the faithful, because that truth comes from the very Spirit of God. Paul provided the same assurance. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. 2 Corinthians 5, 1, 9 through 11. I have time in this brief study today to discuss one other beatitude from the book of Revelation. Jesus warned, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Revelation 16, 15. If nothing more were said in the sacred text about man's inability to know the time of the Lord's second coming, Christ's words, "I come as a thief," would be adequate to show the foolishness and arrogance of setting dates. But Jesus spoke even more explicitly in the Olivet Discourse. "But of that day and hour no man knows, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24, 36. And the truth is, the time of the Lord's coming does not matter. It only matters that He is coming, and that we must be ready for Him when He comes. The second coming is just as sure as His first coming, although we do not know when He is coming and do not need to know. Had we needed to know, the Lord would have told us. We must remember the Lord's words, "Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments." The word "watch" is a present participle and demands that we continually watch. Charles Williams renders the Greek, "Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes ready." In Mark's account of the Olivet Discourse, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at cock-crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Mark 13, 35 through 37. Since Christians are commanded to watch, are they not being unfaithful when they fail to watch? If they are being unfaithful, does that endanger their eternal welfare? Jesus also promised a blessing to those who keep their garments. The word "keep," teron in the Greek, is a present participle and means we must constantly keep our garments ready. Is that not what James meant when he wrote, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." James 1, 27. The word "keep" in this verse is the same one used in Revelation 16, 15. But it is a present infinitive and means to continuously keep oneself unspotted from the world. Peter's second epistle stresses the same truth we are examining in Revelation. The Apostle Peter wrote, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up." 2 Peter 3:10. It should be obvious, even to a casual reader, that Peter had no concern about the time of the Lord's second coming. "Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14. But our initial obedience is not enough. The same epistle urges us to add the Christian graces, virtue, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 5-11. Peter concludes his second epistle by exhorting, But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, 18. Thank you for listening today, and may our Heavenly Father continue to bless you.